Hello and welcome to an Australian Family Physician online podcast. I'm Zara Margolis. Dr. Penny Abbott is the author of the article Increasing GP Supervisor Research Skills, Enhancing Clinical Practice and Teaching. This article features in the May 2014 edition of the Australian Family Physician.
Penny Abbott, welcome.
Thank you, Zara.
So just before, as we begin, could you tell what research was involved in the construction of this paper?
GP supervisors are a very important part of general practice training. As you know, they have a very key role in developing the skills of GP registrars, but I think that they are a bit underutilised really in terms of developing the research skills of their registrars, and one of the reasons is that they themselves may not have had a lot of training in research. Yet I feel like GP supervisors are a really strong group within general practice, and we wanted to get their opinions on how they felt their research skills could be developed. So we held optional workshops within regular GP supervisor training sessions, and we did a presentation about, why GP research was so important. I think it is an important thing because, the evidence to guide clinical management and teaching is more likely to be generated if GPs take an active role in promoting research that actually answers questions that matter to GPs and their patients. And, it'll improve the application and the translation of knowledge into practice.
Through the workshops, what did you discover in terms of general practitioners' motivations and needs in regards to using and participating in more research?
Well, obviously, as with any group, there's a lot of differences. And so the way we looked at it, we used actually quite a nifty little figure that had been developed, a model that had been developed by Paul Glasziou called Glasziou's Triangle, where he just looks at how a majority of GPs are perhaps going to be research users. A smaller number will be participants and a smaller number will be leaders, and how we can increase the capacity of people to move through those stages to try and increase the number of GPs that are involved in research. So we used that framework to analyse the results, and the majority of GP supervisors were really interested in increasing their use of research, and I guess that's basically improving their awareness of evidence-based resources that their registrars and students were taught to use. I think that's an issue because obviously supervisors like to keep up with the kind of information that their students might be also accessing so that they can be on the same page as the students. The strength, of course, of supervisors is that they are able to use the knowledge combined with their own experience and their knowledge of their patients to really translate guidelines and, research evidence into what's really going to work for that patient themselves. And, of course, that is evidence-based medicine. So the majority would like to access, evidence in a timely manner. It's really very hard to take time out in your daily practice and your teaching to really spend a long time reviewing the literature evidence. And this was a common finding across the entire GP supervisor group, and I guess it's not surprising. So what we really did was try to look at how we could potentially help supervisors to be able to access research in a more timely manner. And one of the things that we've really encouraged GPs to consider is using the point of care evidence-based research summaries. So you can get electronic access in that pre-appraised and synthesised research evidence. I'm not convinced, and really I think some of the GPs that we were talking to also saw it as a barrier, that GPs always have time to critically appraise multiple sort of research articles to come up with the answers that they need to guide clinical practice and teaching. So I think it's good for GPs to be aware that there are evidence-based summaries out there. So the DynaMed up-to-date BMJ resources, which they can actually get access to evidence quite quickly. So I think that that is something that has the potential to really help GP supervisors and all GPs to use evidence more effectively in their practice. Another barrier that we found was we had quite a few GPs, you know, a smaller number, but there were certainly some GPs who really would have liked to have become more involved in research, more in participating in research programs, setting the research agenda in their region, or at least contributing to setting the research agenda, and perhaps leading some of their own research projects. And what we found was that one of the biggest barriers to this group moving ahead was they weren't always completely aware of all of the literature in the area, because again, that's something that can be quite hard. So you might say, well, I'm particularly interested in vitamin D, but unless you're on top of what work's already been done in that area, it's hard to really contribute to the research agenda. So we found that that was another barrier to GP supervisors becoming highly involved in research, and it really came down to their literature searching skills, actually. I guess a good way to assist GPs with literature searching skills is another very evidence-based teaching tool, which is evidence-based journal clubs. I think that is something that we are setting up in our region to do exactly that for the GPs that want to move beyond quick access to research evidence at the desktop, to really starting to look at where research gaps might be and the kind of things that they think we should be doing to improve the evidence base for general practice. That is using workshops like journal clubs, where you actually are teaching literature searching at the same time as teaching critical appraisal and becoming aware of what the literature is in the area.
So what are some benefits that could arise as a result of more GPs using research evidence?
I think that you know, GP supervisors are very well placed to contribute to increasing the high quality primary care research that's out there. So I do think as teachers, you know, it's just really great to contribute to the body of knowledge that you teach in, and I think GP supervisors are well placed to do that. And pragmatically, they actually work with registrars in their training practice very intensively for at least 6 months. And on top of that, usually, you know, with the vertical integration that's going on today, have multiple medical students coming through their practices. And thus they can really influence their registrars and medical student attitudes towards research and their experience of research, because we just don't have enough GPs doing research at the moment. I also think GP supervisors are particularly experienced and respected GPs in general. Well, in fact, I think GP supervisors are experienced and respected GPs, and they are really likely to have lots of great ideas of what kind of evidence we really need at the coalface to guide our clinical management and our teaching.
Dr. Penny Abbott, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Sarah.
You can find Dr. Penny Abbott's article, Increasing GP Supervisor Research Skills, Enhancing Clinical Practice and Teaching, in the May 2014 edition of AFP, as well as online at www.racgp.org.au/AFP.